In Genesis, we're going to start off in Genesis 16, where I was rudely interrupted Sunday morning. And that's a joke, by the way. And as far as I remember, we left off at verses 9 or 10. So we're going to pick it up in Genesis 16, and we'll start reading at verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Well, we find, when we left off Sunday morning, we find Hagar out in the middle of the desert. She was being mistreated by Sarah, and she ran away. She fled the scene, and she's in the wilderness. There's nobody there to help her, to protect her. She's pregnant, and we have a girl who is in deep need. And nobody there to come to her rescue except the angel of the Lord. And we found out that the angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus here in the desert to Hagar. And in verse 9, the Lord told Hagar to return to her mistress Sarah and submit to her authority. And I believe that the Lord wanted Hagar to go back to Sarah because he wanted her to deal with that situation and not run from it. I think that's one thing. But here was a young girl, a young woman in need. And the Lord saw her in need. He came to her rescue. And in verse 10, the Lord had a special blessing for Hagar. He says in verse 10, And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. Your descendants will be so numerous they can't be numbered, Hagar. That's quite a revelation to a girl, pregnant girl out in the middle of the desert, isn't it? And the Lord said in verse 11, he went on, he said, You're going to call his name Ishmael. Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. The word Ishmael means God hears. God hears. And God heard Hagar. He saw Hagar. And in verse 12, we get a little bit of insight into Ishmael's descendants in verse 12 and what they're going to be like. It says in verse 12, the Lord is describing Ishmael. He said, He will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Every man's hand against him. Ishmael and his descendants will be hostile to Abraham and his descendants. And, it doesn't take very much to understand what's going on if we trace this problem back through the scriptures, through the present day, we can see that the seed of Ishmael are scattered all over the Middle East, North Africa. And we see that the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Abraham have been fighting a continuous, never-ending war for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that will give us a clue to what's going on in the Middle East and in the nation of Israel. And we see that in verse 12 that he will be a wild man. The literal translation, literal rendering of that phrase is, and he will be a wild donkey of a man. Interesting that there are wild donkeys out in the desert during this time. And Ishmael was going to be described like that, a wild person. We see that if you look around the Middle East, you see many of the Arab nations, they're very independent. They go their own way. They do their own thing. But they're all united in one thing. They want to destroy the nation of Israel. So we see here in this chapter, we can trace back all the way to Genesis 16 many of the problems that we see going on in the world today. And, I don't believe Abraham and Sarah, they really didn't understand how their disobedience to God, their impatience to wait on God, is going to cause far-reaching effects up until this present day. And it will continue that way until the Lord comes. So we see that Hagar is going to be blessed by God. You know, it's interesting here that the Lord would go after this slave girl in this family and tell her that her descendants are going to be more numerous than you can possibly count. What a blessing that was to her, for Hagar to hear that. And we see that in verse 13, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also looked after him that seeth me? Have I looked upon him who sees me and lived? That's what Hagar is saying. Hagar had an encounter with the God who sees. God saw her in her situation. He understood Hagar's situation. He came to her rescue. Brother, sister in Christ, is that not true of us today with our relationship with the Lord? God sees us in our affliction. He sees us in our grief. He sees us in our pain. And He knows. He knows all about it. He understands. It's reminiscent of that verse in Hebrews 4. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who can sympathize with our weaknesses. The Lord sympathized with Hagar's weakness. He saw her out in that desert running away from Sarah and from that in that hard, terrible situation in which she was in. The Lord saw her, He rescued her, and brought her back. What a precious and wonderful picture that is. And you know, we can all relate to that. Do you think that God sees us in our burdens, in our trials, in our pain, in our affliction? Certainly He does. He does see us. He knows us. He knows, He understands our thoughts. He understands the physical problems that we have, or the emotional problems that we have, or the heartbreaking problems, the things that we have to go through. He knows all about those things. And He understands. He sympathizes with us. And if we're in a situation similar to Hagar, rest assured that we can call on the name of the Lord and He will come and help us. He will come alongside us and help. Hagar called that name, or it was called in verse 14, Beer Laha Laha Roy. That means the well of the one who lives and sees me. The one who lives and sees me. That was Hagar's description of the Lord in Genesis 16. And we see further that Ishmael was born in verse 15. In verse 16, we see also that Abram was 86 years old. He was 86 years old at this time when Ishmael was born. And we think that's pretty old, but if we look back on Abram's life, he died when he was 175, so his life was about half over when Ishmael was born. So Abraham lived a long time. So that brings us to chapter 17, and we're going to go into chapter 17 tonight and look at the first 9 verses. I don't know if we'll get through all of them. Maybe we will. But we'll look at the first 9 verses of chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. First of all, in verse 1, we see that Abram was 99 years old at this time. So 13 years have elapsed between the end of chapter 16 and the beginning of chapter 17, which would mean that Ishmael would be 13 years old. And we see in verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abram and identified himself to Abram as Almighty God. Almighty God. In the Hebrew, that's called El Shaddai. And that phrase, El Shaddai, Almighty God, is used 48 times in the Old Testament. It'd be an interesting word study to trace those 48 times and do a study on that. Maybe we can do that someday. But the word Shaddai means sufficient or self-sufficient. It can also be translated one of the mountain, which is an interesting rendering of that. I would call El Shaddai in this particular case the all-sufficient Almighty God. The all-sufficient Almighty God. And he was talking to Abram. The all-sufficient Almighty God was having a conversation with Abraham. And he says at the end of verse 1, Walk before me and be thou perfect. And what we're talking about here, now when we say perfect, we're not talking about sinless perfection. Another word would be blameless. Abraham, live your life in such a way that you will be found blameless in your life. You recall another great man of God who was blameless. That was Job. But we see here that the word blameless means you can't point a finger at you and accuse you of wrongdoing. Now, this doesn't mean we're all perfect. This doesn't mean we don't sin or make mistakes or make errors. What it means, and the Lord expected Abraham to live his life like this, is to walk before me and be blameless in my sight and in the sight of other people. You can't point the finger at somebody and accuse them. That's a blameless person. There's not too many of them around, is it? Not that I know of. There are a few. There are some here at Northgate Chapel, believe it or not. There are some in this audience. I can see you. That I would consider blameless. But God not only expects Abraham to live a life like that, God expects us as believers in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a blameless life. That people cannot point the finger at us and accuse us of wrongdoing. That's part of God's plan for us. In verse 2, now these 9 verses are a reestablishment or a repetition of the covenant that God is making to Abraham. And it's made over and over again during Abraham's lifetime, and also Isaac and Jacob. But I believe here that the Spirit of God is trying to get Abraham and get us to recall that God makes promises and He will keep those promises and they will never fail. Never fail. In verse 2, it says, And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And we know that here in verse 2 that the Lord is repeating His promise to Abram that he will have many descendants. many descendants. The verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12 reads, "Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is on the seashore." Can you believe such a thing? You know, there's a lot of sand out there on the seashore. You just pick, you scoop one handful of sand and count each individual grain of sand in one hand. And we look at the stars in the sky and we see that they're, in our sight, there are probably millions of stars. I think astronomers said in the whole universe there are billions. And these are going to be the number of Abraham's descendants. Amazing, isn't it? And we see that in verse 3, Abraham's reaction to what God had told him. It says in verse 3, "And Abram fell on his face." Abram fell on his face. If a person that we knew of that identified himself as Almighty God, and we knew that he was, would we not fall on our face before God? You remember in Revelation 1 when the Apostle John saw the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory? He couldn't stand and see him. He had to fall down as a dead man in front of the Lord Jesus. Abraham's reaction here is interesting because it shows that Abraham knew exactly who he was talking to. He knew Almighty God when he saw him. And in verse 3, it says that God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." A father of many nations. Paul writes in Romans 4 that Abraham was the father of us all. Now, that may seem to be a strange thing for a believer in Christ to say that Abraham is the father of us all. But not only was the nation of Israel sprang from Abraham, but believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. You know, we're not the physical descendants. The physical descendants are the Jews living in Israel and scattered throughout the world. They're the Old Testament physical descendants of Abraham. You and I, as believers, are spiritual descendants of Abraham. And you recall that Abraham was justified by faith, wasn't he? Just like you and I are. He was justified by faith. And we see in verse 5 that the Lord changed his name. There was a name change involved here in verse 5. "Neither shall thy name be any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." Abram, the word Abram means exalted father. The word Abraham means father of a multitude. So there's a big difference there, isn't it? And Abraham from here on out, he won't be called Abram anymore, exalted father. He will be called father of a multitude, Abraham. And in verse 6, the Lord says, "I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee," in verse 6. Exceeding fruitful. You know, Genesis 35, it's interesting that the Lord, almost in the same same words, made the same promise to Jacob. "And nations will come out of thee." And we see that the nation of Israel came out of thee, and indirectly all the Arab nations came out of Abraham, came from Abraham, physically. Maybe not directly, maybe indirectly in that case. But the Lord said also in verse 6 that kings shall come out of thee. Some of Abraham's descendants will be kings, and we can trace the kings of Israel and Judah from the time of Saul to the time that the Babylonian Empire invaded Israel and took it over. And we see that all these kings that of the nation of Israel, all of them could be traced back to this one man, to Abraham. And, you know, God's covenant with Abraham, it encompassed so much. It encompassed the history of Israel, and it had far-reaching effects, even down to this present day. that we can trace a lot of things back to Abraham. We can trace the nation of Israel back to him. We can trace most of the Arab nations back to him through Ishmael. And we can trace, maybe not trace is not the right word to use, but we can understand that many of Abraham's descendants are us, spiritual descendants of Abraham. And the Lord further said in verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. The covenant that God established with Abraham was an everlasting covenant. The word everlasting means it never comes to an end. Never comes to an end. The nation of Israel does not belong to any one nation in the world. None of the nations in Europe or in Africa or in North America or South America or Asia or Australia, none of the people in those countries and those nations can make a claim that this covenant was with them, because it wasn't. It was with Abraham, his descendants. No Gentile power. God did not make this covenant with any Gentile power, only to the nation of Israel. And God identified himself. You know, if you read the Old Testament scriptures and we keep on and going in the book of Genesis, we read that God identifies himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the way God identified himself to Moses in the burning bush. And the God of Israel, who's identified in the Old Testament as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is he not the same God that we worship and serve? The Lord Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And the Jews picked up stones to stone the Lord Jesus, because they were going to accuse him of blasphemy, because he made himself out to be the great Jehovah God. And so he is. So he is. And the covenant that was made with Abraham is not going to last just a couple hundred years or a couple thousand years. It's an everlasting covenant. Now, it's true in this age in which we live that the nation of Israel, God is not dealing with the nation of Israel right now. He's got them temporarily put on a shelf, but at some time in the future, he will start to deal with them. You and I should be gone from this present world during that time. I'm looking forward to that. But we see here that God's covenant with Abraham, and the Lord, you know, he repeats these things over to Abraham. I think one of the things he's trying to do here is encourage Abraham and Sarah, give them encouragement, and to let them know that covenant with them, that he made with them, can never be broken. Never be broken. When God makes a promise, he will always, always, always keep that promise. To you, to Abraham, to anybody. And we see in verse 8, and I will give thee the land unto thee. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan. In other words, the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, when Joshua took the 12 tribes of Israel across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, and they were all parceled out to the various tribes. And all 12 of them fitted, or that's not a word, is it, fitted? All 12 tribes would fit in the land of Canaan. And that land belongs, the Lord says in verse 8, that land is an everlasting possession. It was for Abraham and his descendants. That land belongs to them and to nobody else. No other nation can make a claim to this land. Many have tried. If you go into the Arab world today and talk about the nation of Israel, that land belongs to them, you'll be lucky to get out alive. Because they think the descendants of Ishmael think that that land belongs to them. But God did not give that land to the descendants of Ishmael. He gave it to the descendants of Israel, to the descendants of Abraham, the nation of Israel. So that land does belong to the nation of Israel. It's theirs. God gave it then to them. And nobody will be able to take it away from the nation of Israel. Nobody will be able to dislodge them. Many will try, but they'll fail. And the Arab nations, there are many who hate the nation of Israel. They want to destroy every Jew in that nation and take the country over for themselves. But it's never going to happen because God, in his divine sovereignty and divine providence, will never let that happen. Praise God for God's promises. And that's the end tonight. We'll pick it up Sunday morning, Lord willing, in verse 10.